WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The State Department's now thanking North Korea and China for the safe return of an American soldier. But spokesman Matthew Miller tells us this doesn't mean the U.S. is set to repair relations.
I would not want to speculate on any motivations on the North Korean side, and I don't know that I would take from this that it heralds some breakthrough in diplomatic relations. Obviously, we're pleased to have secured his return.
The soldier is now expected to face charges and a possible dishonorable discharge. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez pleaded not guilty during his arraignment today on federal bribery charges. CBS's Nicole Killian.
He will be released on his own recognizance. His bond is set at $100,000. He will have to surrender his personal passport, although the senator can still travel for official business, but he does have to get permission in order to do that.
Republican presidential hopefuls hit the stage for their second primary debate tonight without their biggest rival and GOP frontrunner, former President Trump. Here's CBS's Major Garrett.
But until someone on that stage starts taking a very dramatic posture that I am better and former President Trump is worse for this party as not only a leader but a potential president, this campaign will remain where it has been.
Trump skipping that debate to meet with auto workers in Detroit today, where strikes could expand on Friday. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert is there.
The decision will be made based on progress at the bargaining table, a source close to the talks saying just because Ford was spared last week doesn't mean the same thing will happen this time. The union says it will continue escalating the strike until it has deals with all three Detroit-based carmakers.
In Washington, federal agencies are gearing up for a shutdown with just 3 days to go for Congress to come up with a spending agreement. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says millions will be cut off from food programs.
They won't be able to obtain the benefit. They won't be able to have access to infant formula. The fruits and vegetables that this particular program provides to nearly 7 million pregnant women, postpartum women, babies, and children under the age of 6 years.
Crack open a cold one. CBS's Jim Krasula's got the top five party schools in the country.
And the winner is Indiana University of Pennsylvania, at least according to a new survey of more than 60,000 students and recent graduates by the Wall Street Journal. Texas Christian University, Birmingham Southern College, James Madison University, and Tarleton State University in Texas round out the top five schools ranked by party scene.
Party's over at the University of Alaska Anchorage. They had the worst party scene. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Finding great candidates.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Falls resident has been sentenced to 9 months in jail after being convicted of stealing catalytic converters. Brandon G. was charged with 7 counts of criminal damage to property, 6 counts of theft, 1 count of attempted theft, and 1 count of felony bail jumping after his conviction of stealing catalytic converters off more than a dozen cars. G. also faces 4 years of probation and will pay restitution of over $12,000. A Wisconsin native is back in the United States custody 2 months after crossing the border into North Korea. Officials say Private Travis King was transferred to U.S. custody in China after North Korea announced it would expel him. According to a Leader Telegram report, the North's official Korean Central News Agency reported King confessed to illegally entering the country due to, quote, ill feeling against inhuman maltreatment and racial discrimination. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Paid for by government.com.
The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with full
fully visible dates and mint marks, guaranteed. Call 1-800-859-1538 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25, free with every order. Call 1-800-859-1538 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-859-1538. That's 1-800-859-1538.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making, a lot of it made. Let's start right away with crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. The judge yesterday, it was just announced right in the middle of the broadcast of Matt Flynn Direct. I alluded to it in the last 5 minutes, but the judge found Trump. This is the one in New York, Letitia James. She's the Attorney General of New York and a darn good one. Letitia James had brought a suit against Trump, his three children, and Trump Enterprises, all his companies, for fraud. Civil case, not criminal. An appellate court ruled that Ivanka Trump should be dismissed. Apparently, she didn't have enough to do with it, with all the fraud, to, at least in the opinion of the appellate court, to be included. So Letitia James brought what's called a motion for summary judgment. Now, let me tell you something quick about that. You can only do it in civil cases. You can't do it in criminal cases. The prosecution can't bring a motion for summary judgment in a criminal case and go, "Judge, the evidence is so overwhelming, rule that this guy's guilty and let's send him to the who's gal." You can't do that in a criminal case. In a civil case, the defendant can bring a motion for summary judgment. And the standard is very simple. It says, "Judge, assume all the facts that are alleged against us." They still don't state a claim. They can't hold us liable, even if it's all true. Much harder is a summary judgment motion brought by the plaintiff in a civil case, the one that starts the case, especially a prosecutor, because they have to say, "Judge, the facts are so overwhelming that there is no possible defense that the other side can put up anything that a reasonable jury could accept and exonerate them, rule that they're not liable." It's a very, very rare motion, a plaintiff's motion for summary judgment. But that's what Letitia James did, and she was successful. The judge, experienced judge, trial judge in New York, said, "I grant Letitia James's motion for summary judgment." Now there's going to be a trial next week, but it's only on damages. The jury is going to be told right from the get-go as they're convened. The Trump Organization, Donald Trump and his two adult sons, Don Jr. and Eric, have committed fraud. Prosecution will tell you what that fraud is. The only question before you is, what are the remedies? How much should they pay? What should happen to them? Not whether or not something should happen to them. What should happen to them? So here's what the judge found. He found, and immediately, by the way, canceled the Trump Organization's business certificates in New York as a precautionary matter because they had been held liable on summary judgment for fraud. He held them liable for filing 10 years of false financial statements, 10 years. That's also, by the way, a criminal offense, but a lot of it was beyond the statute of limitations. And Trump is being pursued anyway in New York by Alvin Bragg, the DA. So Letitia James opted to do this as a civil case. So nobody can go to jail. But the judge said 10 years he found that there was no dispute. 10 years of fraudulent financial statements. Now, normally you would say, well, my lawyer, my accountant can put that straight. But oh, wait, his lawyer and his accountant were both felons in prison, Michael Cohen and the other fellow, the accountant. You know, it's a bad sign in a company when your lawyer and your chief financial officer are in the hoosegow. They're felons. You're sort of on your own. Now, what Letitia James is going to ask for is a fine and restitution of something like $250 million. Those kinds of remedies are joint and several. What does that mean? What it means is she wants her $250 million. She doesn't care if it all comes out of Donald Trump, Don Jr., Eric Trump, or Trump Enterprises. That money is going to go to the state of New York and then dispersing it to whatever victim she identifies. She's also asking to stop the Trump companies, all of the Trump companies, from engaging in business for 5 years. She's also asking that Donald Trump, Don Jr., and Eric Trump are barred from serving as officers in a business in New York forever. Officers, I assume that means directors as well. But the press said officers. An officer is a president, a vice president, secretary, treasurer, even a CFO of a company. A director is broader than that. You have outside directors, but frequently the executives are also what we call inside directors. They can't do any of that. Also, the judge is going to appoint a receiver who will manage all of the Trump Corporation, the Trump Enterprise assets, all of them. And that includes a couple of things. The commercial tower, the Trump commercial tower at 40 Wall Street. Also, the Trump family companies elsewhere around New York, the five boroughs. And you have, for instance, the Trump property on Fifth Avenue. And trial starts on Monday. Trial starts on Monday to determine whether or not, and this is what's requested by the Attorney General, 250 million bones, quite a bit of bones. 5 years, for 5 years, the Trump companies, they're enjoined. They can't do business anywhere for 5 years. And Trump and his adult sons would be barred from serving as officers, and I assume directors, in any business in New York. Now, let me say a few things. Normally, if somebody were running for the county board in Dane County, in Rusk County, in Milwaukee County, in Sheboygan County, in Greene County, a lot of counties where I have relatives, guys running for the county board, comes out that he filed 10 fraudulent financial statements in any business for 10 years. You think the guy gets elected? You think the guy even has the guts, the shame, shamelessness to run? I don't think so. I don't think he does or she does. And if they did so show that lack of shame, we had somebody over here in a primary a couple of years ago for county board in Milwaukee County. And this would have been a county board member in the district just to the west of where I live. And it turned out there was some financial hanky-panky in his background. He didn't get Schneider. He didn't. Not only didn't he win, the minute that came out, he was toast. So over and above the, 91 criminal indictments on 91 felonies in four jurisdictions, over and above the coup trying to overturn the election and reinstall him the way you do in communist, now it's Mafia Russia, communist China, North Korea, a lot of places in Africa and everywhere else. Put all that aside. Think of this. The guy has been found by the only credible evidence to have filed fraudulent financial statements on his businesses over 10 years. For instance, and one of the interesting things about this is, does this mean they're going to grab Mar-a-Lago? Is the receiver going to run that too? It's not clear to me from the initial reporting, because I was not in the courtroom, obviously. I'm sure Letitia James asked for that, as to how that's going to operate on Trump properties outside of New York, unless they are subsidiaries or divisions or, in some respect, affiliated with the New York enterprises. And, of course, he'll immediately hire lawyers to disassociate them. But here's the deal. I think it was in Mar-a-Lago that he valued it for investors and for banks and everything at about $450 million, but it's only assessed under $20 million. And this sort of business is what he did elsewhere with his properties. You know, and real estate is notoriously difficult to value. I understand that. The judge understand that, but enough's enough. Judges understand that, but enough's enough. And on all of these financial statements, he put a little legend, little statement. And effectively, he argued, this is unbelievable. He argued what those statements said was, you may not rely on these financial statements. Well, why do you file a financial statement? No one can rely on it. And he didn't say it quite that way. It was real sneaky, extremely sneaky. And so he put a little mumbo jumbo on and he said, well, that's a disclaimer. I wasn't saying they should rely on it. And the judge goes, well, what the, you just put it out for the hell of it? A financial statement on Trump enterprises in New York. He figured, well, what the heck? Well, no, not what the heck. So here's what it comes down to. He just took a haymaker. He took a real dive in this thing. And he has been found liable on a summary judgment motion, very, very rare, plaintiff summary judgment motion. Judges bend over backwards. This judge is an experienced judge, a nonpartisan judge. But the proof was so overwhelming, and he didn't really put in anything that could combat it. Now, the other thing to keep under your in mind is the guy going to show up next Monday. He didn't show up at the E. Jean Carroll defamation suit, and it cost him 5 million bones. If he doesn't even show up and testify in this thing, he's looking at 250 million bones. He's looking to be barred from anything in New York forever. And he's looking for his enterprises doing no business anywhere for 5 years. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, tonight there will be a clown show. Starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. That means 8 o'clock our time. It's on Fox. I had people last time. These are Republican primary debates. I had friends call up saying, I can't find it. I'm on MSNBC and I'm on, you know, CNN and all this. Well, it's on Fox. And I think it's on Univision. It may be a few other places. But if you want to watch it, that's what it is, 8 o'clock. This is the Republican primary debate. The last one was in Milwaukee. Seven candidates qualify for this debate. They threw Asa Hutchinson over the side, stomped right on his fingers. He was holding out of the windowsill, and they stomped on him, and out down he went. No more Hutchinson. No more Hutchinson, RIP Hutchinson. He's still trying to be relevant, going somewhere, I don't know, Michigan, holding a press conference, but he's a ghost. We shall see him no more. He was really trying for vice president. He was actually trying for a cabinet position, but now there's seven. But, you know, who's going to watch? I will watch simply to see the clown show. But I'll tell you something. People wonder, you know, Matt, look, Donald Trump just was held liable for 10 years of fraudulent financial statements. 91 felonies he's been accused of in four jurisdictions, started a coup, and yet he's still way ahead in the Republican primary. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. Turn on TV and take a look at these people. It's Mo, Larry, Curly, Grumpy, Sneezy, Dopey, Sleepy, Morticia, Lurch. I mean, these people, not only are not competent, any of them to be president, they don't even comport themselves. They couldn't fake being a president on TV as actors. I mean, you want DeSantis? I mean, DeSantis right now is in free fall. He doesn't know what he stands for. He's trying to go to the right of Trump on some things. And then in sort of a high-pitched voice in white go-go boots, he's shrilly yelling at Trump. You have Vivek Ramaswamy. Are you kidding me? Vivek Ramaswamy never held elected office, but more importantly, his foreign policy platform that he keeps talking about is almost identical to the foreign policy platform of Narendra Modi and his Hindu Nationalist Party. He's not fooling anybody. He's not going anywhere. Then a couple of them may not survive this debate. Why do I say that? Because they keep upping the ante. First debate, you have 1% in the polls. This time, you have to have 3% in the polls. If they raise it to 5 or 6%, you're not going to see Tim Scott anymore. You're not to see that guy from North Dakota, sort of the Fargo guy, you know, Fargo governor, Doug Bertram or whatever his name is. He's going to have his fingertips stomped on. So's Tim Scott. Poor Tim Scott. The other day they grab him, and this is what they ask him in Iowa. This is what the hardcore right wing asked him in Iowa. Tim Scott, are you married? No, I'm not. Have you ever been married? No. Are you going to come out with a girlfriend or something so we can have a first lady? Yes, I am. I have somebody in mind, but I'm not yet ready to introduce her publicly. What kind of deal is this? What kind of crowd is this? What kind of candidates are this? Are these? Chris Christie's the only guy that's blasting Trump. But Chris Christie, it doesn't give the appearance to me, and I don't mean physical appearance. I mean entire demeanor. I think in what he says and stands for, this guy isn't going to be president. I mean, he's the best of a bad lot. I'll tell you that on that side, the best of a bad lot. Trump's not going to be at this. Once again, why not? Because he's way up. And this is Mo, Larry, and Curly, grumpy, sneezy, dopey, Lurch, Morticia. So he's not going to show up. He himself is essentially Putin's mistress. I mean, he's weirder than all of them put together. He's worse than any of them, worse than any of them. So what's he going to do? Well, he looked and he said, well, Joe Biden went to the picket line in Michigan yesterday and stood with the UAW workers. It was terrific, gave a great speech. Sean Fain, the president of the AFL, of the United Auto Workers, just stood right with them very warmly. You know, I at one time knew personally, and many of us did, the secretary treasurer of the UAW, Ray Majerus, here in Milwaukee, wonderful guy. I sat with him in the 1980 convention, Democratic convention, in New York City. And Ray was one of, the secretary treasurer of the UAW is one of the two or three most powerful labor leaders in the country. The president of the UAW is perhaps the most powerful, along with the head of the AFL-CIO. So what does Trump do? He wants to milk this, but kind of pull a sneaky one. Here's a sneaky one. I'm going to Michigan, he said. Okay, you're going to Michigan. And I'm going to speak to workers. Oh, okay, you're going to go on the picket line and stand with them? Well, no. He's going to speak to non-union workers at a distribution plant and stick it to the UAW and the AFL-CIO. I mean, the thing is, when it comes to sneakiness, the guy's a master, but at some point, how dumb does he think people are? Biden goes there and marches on the picket line and speaks with the strikers of the UAW. And Sean Fain, the president of the UAW, stands with him. And what does Trump do? He's going to a non-union facility that's undercutting the UAW. And then he goes around the country saying, I stood with the workers in Michigan. Well, the buzzwords are Michigan and workers. That all sounds good. And a lot of people fall for it. And they go, oh, he was on the picket line. No, he wasn't on the picket line. He was with the group. He was with the group that is opposed to the picket line. So keep this in mind tonight. When you do not see him, remembering Xanadu did Donald Trump a stately pleasure dome decree, a golden suite with Vladimir, Vladimir's mistress. He will pull us out of NATO. He'll screw the entire country. He is not with the UAW workers. He's with a non-union shop that's opposed to the UAW workers. And he's pulling a fast one. He'll go, Michigan workers, Michigan workers, Michigan workers. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Getting so much better all the time.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Soldier Travis King is back in American custody after illegally crossing North Korea's border this summer. But State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says the U.S. doesn't see this as some turning tide.
I would not see this as the sign of some breakthrough. I think it's a one-off with them being willing to return this private.
The same goes for China, which also helped facilitate King's transfer. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges today, but legal analyst Jessica Levinson says he faces serious prison time.
You could be looking at as much as 45 years based, again, on these charges of bribery, on a services fraud, and extortion.
A government shutdown could complicate operations at the southern border. Victor Trevino's mayor of Laredo, Texas.
We're seeing an immigration surge right now. So not paying or furloughing our federal agents impacts our ability to process migrants that are being transferred to us.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Labor leaders in Wisconsin say recent National Labor Relations Board changes will make it easier for residents to unionize, particularly in the service industry. According to a WPR report, companies caught using unfair labor practices under the new NLRB framework will be forced to negotiate with a union, and if a majority of workers express interest in joining a union, the employer is immediately required to bargain with the union or seek an election. The Polk County Sheriff's Office announced a man was killed in a motorcycle crash earlier this month. Law enforcement authorities say 68-year-old Gregory Schnell of rural Clayton, Wisconsin, was involved in a crash on County Road D near the intersection of 30th Street and rural Clayton. He reportedly went off at a curve at the intersection. Authorities responded to the crash and Schnell was airlifted to Regents Hospital, where he died about 2 weeks later. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flint Rick. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines in order. Don't hang up. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for all the information. Doesn't look too pretty for Trump. But, you know, right now, okay, we all see now why he didn't want us to see his taxes and have his history, his information on his financial situation. Fraud again and abuse and lies. But right now, during this shutdown debacle, I believe that our government, even if it has to be the president, to stop this shutdown during this time in our history of instability, fraud, abuse of power, based on the evidence thus far, it's a blatant attack on the United States from the inside. There is no honesty and integrity to work together to negotiate what they will do and the problems that disagreements. This is a blatant shutdown of our country and impacting our national and homeland security and the basic functions of our society. And people should get on the phone and call their representatives and say, this is unacceptable. That's my rant for the day. Thank you very much, Matt, for all the work you do. We appreciate it so much. Bye.
No, Gene, thank you so much. And frankly, you've said that more articulately than anybody I've heard in Congress say it. I'm going to talk about it a little about what can be done, but I agree with you. At some point, for instance, if this were there a declaration of, right now we're functionally at war with Russia. I mean, it's not a declaration of war, with North Korea, with Iran. If you had a party that wanted to cripple you and make it impossible for you to defend yourself, at some point, the president can, by executive order, and I think martial law would be a little extreme in this case, but executive order, say something like, of the 221 Republicans, about 190 of them want to pass a budget X, and all the Democrats do. That's almost 400 people. I'm not going to let 40 people tie up this country and just do it by executive order. Order the Treasury Department, order to spend the money. And if the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that, the six tarantulas, several of whom have been bribed, they don't have a police force and they don't have an army, and the president does. The reason I don't like that right off the get-go is because it's all well and good if Donald Trump, if Joe Biden does it, but if what if we get a fascist in there? We don't want him doing it. So we're going to talk about that a little more, but I'm going to go now to Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, it's very interesting what kind of internecine warfare is going to go on within the Republican Party among the Republican candidates. Because I didn't read that. I saw a headline come out that they're criticizing Vivek Ramaswamy for, you know, that question his honesty as being a practicing Hindu when he was able to quote the Bible. And I was just kind of, even though I don't really approve of some kind of the theocratic message some of the Republicans are coming up with, they go, that's part of our cultural heritage to actually be somewhat versed in what the Bible, you know, the New Testament, and parts of the Old Testament. So I just wonder what kind of lows they're going to stoop to, you know, start firing shots at one another, literally, figuratively, not literally, and start tearing each other apart, and Trump egging on the civil war going on within the Republican Party, at least among the Republican Party candidates, that they'll be tearing at one another in short order, I think.
That's an interesting point. Let me just jump in. Now, obviously, the foundation of our Constitution, which is probably the foundational insight of the Enlightenment, was separation of church and state, no established religion. So I don't much care what religion anybody is who runs for office. In the case of Vivek Ramaswamy, it's also important to point something out, though. He's being sued by one of his own executives for securities fraud, for ordering people to do things that are illegal. This guy, no one knows much about him. He's never held elected office. He's a fast talker. He's a con man, and he has no business at all, no business at all being in the presidency. So thanks for calling. Next up, do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Thanks, Matt, for taking my call. I would like to return to an issue that I brought up yesterday, which is this phony baloney secret panel that has been convened by a Republican Speaker Voss of supposedly retired judges, a group of retired judges, three in number, who are providing him information on how to proceed with the impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz, even though it's quite clear in the Constitution how we proceed. So here's the thing. American Oversight, a watchdog group, which has sued the secret panel, saying that as a government body, they are required to meet in public. They are breaking the law because they are meeting in secret. Okay, that's against our laws. Number one, Matt, this is put together by Voss. He's been in the assembly since 2005.
You know he knows what the law is. This shouldn't be new to him. He shouldn't either need a remedial course in what the open meetings law is. And any one of these judges that has been assigned to this secret panel also knows what the law is. They know that they're breaking the law. So here we are where we're stuck having to get an outside group to sue the secret panel. Okay, that's what the language said. They're going to sue the secret panel. Who pays for this? Are we stuck with the bill again as Boss and his clowns continue to have their secret panel? It's wrong. They can't do this, and we're going to get stuck with the bill from as this goes through the courts. How can it be that the panel is, you know, going to be sued? How come we can't go after the individual people like Boss and the judges who know this is wrong? Surely there must be some way that our local district attorney, which is where the violation took place, could they sue the individual people for damages to say, or to sue them to just say you broke the open meetings law? There's a fine, there's sentence time. This has to be more than just us getting stuck with the bill again. I mean, this seems what it always is. Republicans do what they want, and we get stuck with the bill. So I'm curious to know, how could the local district attorney proceed against individuals in this secret panel? Thanks a lot, right. Matt.
No, it's an excellent question. Let me answer it. And those of you who are on the line, do not hang up. I'm going to take you in order. You will get in the segment. Joe, to review the bidding, and Joe had brought this up before, but now her new question is essential. Robin Voss has taken the position that essentially the tax revenues are kind of a piggy bank, and the Republican Party can dip into it for attorney's fees anytime they want, even if they're being sued for doing something unconstitutional. They just go in and they spend about $3 million on Gableman. That Gableman thing was a fraud, and Gableman was sued. He sued people, and then they paid to defend him. They paid to defend Voss. In this case, what's happening is two Supreme Court justices who did it publicly are Jeanine Gieske and Lou Butler, whom I know, and they both opined that there's no basis under the law to impeach Janet Protasiewicz because there's no crime and no corruption. They've already said that. What Voss is doing is a sneaky shield. It's sort of like Trump saying, I went to Michigan and talked to the workers to kind of hoodwink people. He went to he's going to go to Michigan to talk to non-union facilities and executives who don't want the union, but he conceals it. Voss is doing the same thing. Voss knows he's been in the assembly for now, 18 years, as Joe points out. He knows you can only impeach someone for a crime or corruption, and there's no crime by Janet, and there's no corruption. There's nothing. She's never done a corrupt act in her life, but she hasn't done anything on the court. She's only been on the court for less than 2 months. So what he does is he has a secret panel. Not going to tell us who it is. I know at least several of them have got to be, because there aren't that many living former Supreme Court justices who are Republicans. One of them is David Prosser. The other one is Pat Rogensack. David Prosser is the guy that is alleged to have put his hands around the throat of Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, and Pat Rogensack is one of the three election deniers who voted not to certify Joe Biden. I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, go ahead and do it. I don't know who the third one is. He says that it's not Gableman. Okay, if it's not Gableman, is there somebody out there that I'm missing? Maybe, I don't know. But the point is, Joe's question is, how do we get the money for the legal fees back? Joe, yes, they are using our tax dollars. And when they do $3 million for Gableman and maybe $2 million for this thing, you and I and everybody listening has paid a lot of state income taxes, nowhere near $5 million, nowhere near a percentage of that. Everything you paid, everybody who's listening to me, went down the drain. Every time Voss sort of reaches into the desk drawer and pulls out some cash that belongs to the taxpayers, they're not fiscally responsible. Here's the answer. What you can do. There is a provision in Wisconsin law called abusive process and malicious prosecution. That's the term of art. And the prevailing parties, which should be the people that demand that it be open, should say, Judge, their defense was frivolous. That means they should pay the attorney's fees. And normally that's assessed against their lawyers, but in this case, assess it against them. The problem with that, Joe, and this happened actually in one of the previous cases, is they'll say, all right, Voss, you have to pay $700,000 in fees and whatever. He'll then reach into the desk drawer and pull out taxpayer money to pay his fine. Now, getting a judge to say, I enjoin you, you have to pay, and I enjoin you to clear with me in advance where you get the money if you can't do it or won't do it. That's a remedy, Joe, that I have not seen. If I were a judge, I would seriously consider that. In fact, I would do that. But you're not going to see a lot of elected judges do that. So that is the answer, unfortunately. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, your next What's in Your Mind today, Wisco Paul.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. The GOP is corrupt. That's the reason we need fair maps. And that's the reason they're going to impeach Janet. Voss doesn't care. You look at the national scene, the Republican Party does not care if they shut down the whole country, which will affect everybody. Their main target is Joe Biden. They want to take him out. And it's a vendetta, Trump against Biden. They don't care. But the biggest thing here, this all comes down to fair maps. If you're locked into a district, no matter what you do not lose your job. You ever heard of anything so crazy? So they don't, you know, I get to the point. I've called Groltman 3 times this week. I live in the 6th CD. I don't think he cares because he's locked in to a district that no matter what he does, he gets reelected. So that's my rant for today. Thanks.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. It's not a rant. You tell it like it was. You really do tell it like it is. Thanks for calling, Paul. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Bob?
Well, I see Trump slipping. People are focusing in on the national polls, and I think that's a huge mistake. Nobody's paying attention. But they're paying attention in New Hampshire, and that's where DeSantis has fallen to about 5th in the polls, and Trump is down to like 17% or 19%, and Nancy is at 12, and Ferry and Vivek and are a couple of the others in the, about the 11% area. So it's a horse race with almost two-thirds of the Trump lead already distributed to other people. So, and this is a long time from the vote. I see movement, and I see the television starting October 23rd of the Georgia case could put the nail in Trump's coffin, because a lot of people will get a lot of information out of that. And he won't have his lawyers there to defend himself, but the whole case will go forward for those two.
Right. Bob, that's a terrific call. We're going to a break. I'm going to respond more after the break, but you're absolutely right. A national poll, any polling in Alabama or Mississippi or California or New York is worthless. But I'm going to get back to what's happening in the individual states. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low near 60. Partly sunny tomorrow, highs near 70. Upper 70s Friday, chance of storms late, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Saturday, maybe a shower or storm, high in the low 80s, similar for Sunday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Okay.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to further respond to Bob of Madison. That was a very, very important call, because when you talk about polling in the old days, let's say you did it in the Kennedy-Nixon race or the Carter-Reagan or something like that, basically it meant something to poll nationally. Now we are so balkanized, we're so split in this country, that it doesn't do any good to poll in Alabama. Trump's going to win Alabama. It's not going to do any good to poll in California or New York, because Biden's going to win in California and New York. So the question is, where does it make any difference polling? And in my judgment, it makes difference polling in three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. You can tell me till you're blue in the face that Georgia and Arizona is a swing states. Yeah, they were last time. And Joe could win them again this time, but he won them by a very small margin. And they were typically red states. Nevada is a different story. Maybe I should add that. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada. If Biden wins those four states, he wins the election. If Trump wins those four states, Trump wins the election. If they're split, if say Michigan and Pennsylvania go with Biden and Wisconsin and Nevada go with Trump, I still think Biden wins, but I'd have to pull out the pencil here and start adding up electoral votes. But it's really down to that. And so when Bob says in New Hampshire, New Hampshire is going to go for Biden. But in New Hampshire, in the Republican primary, it may show that Trump is slipping. But the problem is, in stopping Trump, you have to have a credible alternative, a credible. I've talked to a lot of Republicans who said they'd like not to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for Biden. They'd like not to vote for Trump. But they gag when they see these other people. Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote for Doug Burgum of North Dakota? Vivek Ramaswamy? Nikki Haley? I mean, come on. They threw Asa Hutchinson over the side. Tim Scott, he's going to get thrown over the side next time also. They don't have anybody that you would look at on TV and say, oh, my God, what a great president. It would be, oh, my God, I mean, the Russians will go into Poland and this guy and this woman won't know what to do. So you have Trump, and the only thing he has going for him is name recognition, and he was president. So a lot of people lazily go, oh, OK, well, then I'll vote for him maybe. So the real question to me isn't so much the Republican primary, because can Donald Trump, a crook accused of 91 felonies, 10 years of false financial statements, just lost another case. The guy's a crime on the hoof. He's crime on the hoof. It's not so much can he beat Vivek Ramaswamy. Yes, he can. So what? The question is, can he beat Joe Biden? And in New Hampshire right now, Joe Biden is, and they also do head-to-head. So not just the primaries, they'll do Biden against Trump. Biden is ahead in the polls in New Hampshire over Trump. Biden is ahead in the polls. And why wouldn't he be? He's the best president for the economy in 50 years, the lowest unemployment. He's tamed inflation far better than anywhere else in the world. And it was an international fever inflation. It's not just limited to one country. He had the deficit, the Inflation Reduction Act, hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIP bill. And he rammed it through a Congress that he didn't even control. He had Moscow Mitch has about half of it. And we have two Quislings. We have Manchin and Sinema that he has to tickle under the chin with a turkey feather. He's a master. The guy, Joe Biden's been in the Senate since 1972, except for when he was vice president. And then for the 4 years or so where he was getting ready to run against Trump. So there's nobody in the history of the United States in the 19th century, in the 18th century, anywhere who knows more about the Senate than Joe Biden. He's a magician. They stick him on the stage with nothing but a top hat and a cloth, and suddenly he pulls a rabbit out. And there was no rabbit there. He pulled the rabbit out. We need them. We need him bad. He's terrific. Foreign policy. He not only keeps us in NATO, but he reinvigorates NATO. He reinvigorates NATO. He does a mini NATO in the Pacific to contain the Chinese, the Chaicoms, and the Norks. He knows what he's doing. He knows these people. He pulls the levers. So in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, that's the ball game. So national polls mean nothing. They're loaded with a lot of votes in Alabama. Sometimes they overemphasize a state. How will Joe Biden do in Wisconsin? That's the thing that we have to concentrate on because that's where we are. And that's why the Republican Party in this state is trying to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, impeach Megan Wolf, to throw the election into chaos. So then they can say in the legislature, we'll pick the electors, because in the Constitution, it says the legislature picks the electors. And back in 1916 or 17, with the 17th Amendment, they changed that for senators, but they didn't do it for president, because the original Constitution said senators and presidents, presidential electors are picked by the legislature. That's what it says in the Constitution. 10 years ago, 17th Amendment changed that for the Senate, said that, no, that's got to be a popular election. They didn't do it for president because they didn't think they had to, because all the states had a presidential election. And we do in Wisconsin. But Voss and his running dogs could try to change that. And then they say they pick it and they'll pick Trump. That's what's going on. It's only three states. It's Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So in the national polls, if somebody says to you, oh, in the national polls, Trump and Biden and all the polls combined are tied, 46-46. That's true, they are. That offsets California and New York against a lot of the South. I get it. So what? Three states, the industrial middle of the country, the upper Midwest, three states. And we're in one of them. So get off the couch and do something about it. And when the Republicans are trying to impeach Janet Protasiewicz and Megan Wolf, you know why they're doing it. It's fraudulent. They're trying to do it to throw chaos into the election so they can pull off a fraud. They throw a smoke bomb, then they run in and steal the money out of the safe. That's what's going on. And they're using our tax dollars to fund litigation. This is wrong. You know, Joe Madison made this point. If the speaker wants to use money on litigation, he shouldn't just dip into the old weasel sack, which is my tax money, and do it. He should pass it, which they can, and then Evers has a chance to veto it or modify it. That isn't happening. They put their hand in the cash bag. We come to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Great callers, as always. I'm going to watch the thing tonight, hold my nose, Fox, 8 o'clock. Talk about it a little tomorrow. Matt Flynn Direct signing off right now. Be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for Devil's Advocate with Dom and crew.
It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media.